to the book of Psalms, the 57th Psalm, and I want to read the first through the ninth verses of this Psalm. I noticed when Brother Deal was mentioning all of these folks that had worked so hard at the campground, of course he couldn't have mentioned himself, but you and I know that there's nobody that works any harder than Brother Deal. We appreciate our superintendent, appreciate his labor and his effort and the work that he and Brother Cheryl and many of the men have done this year to make this a place where we can worship God. From the 57th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. Be merciful unto me, O God.
Yes.
Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth.
Yes.
My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are as spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, and they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And for my text tonight, I have chosen the seventh verse of this beautiful psalm. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Praise God.
Let's ask God to talk to our hearts. Father, we love and appreciate you. And most of all, we appreciate your marvelous word. That's a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. We're asking the Lord to anoint our lips of clay and our ears and hearts to be receptive to your truth. You know exactly what we need in this auditorium tonight. Those that may be here cold and indifferent, set them on fire. The sinner that be in this place, may he learn to worship you. We're asking your blessings on this message and this service. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight upon a subject that I've entitled Programmed to Praise the Lord. Programmed to Praise the Lord. Now, I suppose that when you say programmed, you're thinking of the computer systems of our nation. And I know there are some people right here in this building tonight who probably are computer programmers. That means that they feed into these great machines of the intellect that will bring about the solution to the problems needed in whatever field they're working in. And then when the information that's in that machine needs to be used by anybody in that company, they know how to press the buttons and ask the machine for the answers that have been put in there. But we had programming a long time before we had computers. We did it on a kind of a minor scale. I can remember my dad, when I was a boy, used to go by the shop where his business was to see if the sign was operating properly. He had an electric timed sign, and he programmed that thing to come on at a certain hour and to go off at a certain hour. And this is many, many years ago. There are such equipment in practically every kind of appliance that you can think of. Your oven at home is programmed to operate a certain way. You set it for a certain time, it comes on, it cooks your dinner,
yeah.
It shuts itself off, and all you have to do is come and get it out. If you've got a microwave, it's got a certain number that you put it on because that number is programmed to cook beans and spinach the same way. Or however, whatever, according to a certain number. You look in the book and find out what number, you push that number, and somehow or other the brain in that thing tells it how long to operate. And then, of course, there is the automatic washer and dryer, which has been programmed from the factory. It has certain wash cycles, certain speeds for the agitator, certain amount of time it takes to rinse out the clothes, certain amount of time for spinning. Some of it is used in a more violent nature than others, depending on the type of fabric. And you punch the button, you set the gauge, and the machine does the work.
Yes.
It's programmed to work that way. It's fixed that way. It's set up that way. And we went by a bank this morning about 7:30, my wife and I, and when we passed the bank, it was raining. And the sprinkler system was on in the front yard. And my wife said, "Look at there, their sprinkler system's on." I said, "Well, it's probably hooked up with a computer of some kind that programmed it, that it comes on at such and such an hour and it goes off at such and such an hour. And since we've had no rain for so long, they've had it set to come on, and it came on Sunday. There's nobody there to shut it off. Because it will do what it is programmed to do." And I want to talk tonight about being programmed to praise the Lord. I mean programmed to praise the Lord. Fixed that way. Set that way. Already made up that way. And I read to you from this 57th Psalm the statements of this man David as he cries out, and he said, "I am in the shadow of thy wings, and I will make my refuge there until these calamities be overpassed." So the psalmist must have been going through a very severe trial at this particular time. He goes on to say, "Save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." He said, "My soul is among the lions, and I lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are sharp swords." They're out to get me. And then he said, "They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down, and they have digged a pit before me." And after telling his troubles, his calamities, his fears, his threat from his enemies, then he said, "But Lord, my heart is fixed."
Oh, hallelujah.
That word "fixed" means my heart has been prepared.
Oh, yes.
My heart has been set. I am programmed. My heart is fixed. I've been programmed to sing and give praise.
Praise God.
And my friend, when you're a child of God and trouble comes your way, you're not programmed to complain and gripe and cry and moan and take vengeance on your enemy and get even with those that are against you. You're programmed to sing praise to God. The Holy Ghost programs God's people. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your heart has been fixed.
Oh, yes.
Your mind has been made up. Your soul has been programmed by the Holy Ghost.
that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. You have nothing to be afraid of. This same writer said, I don't have to fear because I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. He said, some men trust in horses and some men trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. You don't have to worry about your problems. The Bible says he's with us in 6 troubles, and in 70 he'll never forsake. Jesus said, take no thought of what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. The Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. He said that there's not a sparrow that falls from a tree that his eye doesn't see. He said, consider the lily of the field. It doesn't spin and it doesn't toil. But Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. My friend, this glorious church of the living God has nothing better to do than to sing and to praise its Creator. You say, but I got a lot of problems, Brother Whalen. I know it. But the Holy Ghost got you programmed to overlook your problems. He said, cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. God doesn't want you to do anything but praise him. You go through this book of Psalms, and over again, the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise him for his goodness and his mercy unto the children of men. Most of the problems that we cannot solve among us is due to the fact that we don't give vent to praises unto our God. If this church could learn how to praise God in adversity, we would see our adversities flee. We become so carnal and so human and so much like the flesh of mankind that when trouble comes our way, we begin to worry about it. We begin to let it trouble us. But it's not God's will for his church to worry.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I used to wonder what that meant until I read about how that the people of the East would choose a bride for their husbands or for their sons. It said that they looked for a girl who had no wrinkles, because any girl that had a wrinkle meant she worried. They always looked at her forehead. If she had a wrinkled forehead, they said, I don't want that one for my wife because she's a worrier and she'll drive him crazy. I had a preacher one time say to me, he said, I know that it pays to worry. I said, how's that? He says, my wife worries all the time and nothing she worries about ever comes to pass. So I know it pays to worry. God doesn't want us to worry. Oh, he's coming for a church without any worry, without any spot, without any wrinkle, or any such thing. I want you to know that God's coming back for a people who are programmed to worship him. He's coming for a people that will glorify his name. He's coming for a people that will sing praises unto him. The best way to get rid of your trouble is to sing to it and pray to it and worship to it. I talked to folks who said, when I asked them, where were you the other night? Well, we just didn't come. Why didn't you come? Well, we just felt so bad and we've got so many problems that we just didn't come. Well, that's the most foolish thing you can do. If you've got problems, that's where you need to go, to the house of God. And I'll grant you, if you'll go there and you'll sing with all of your heart and you worship with all of your heart, your problems will become small.
The book of Job tells us about a man who was upright and perfect in the sight of God. He eschewed evil. He loved God with all of his heart. And one day Satan gathered with the sons of God, apparently as the angels met in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been going to and fro and up and down in the earth, looking at your people." And the Lord said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" "Yes," he said, "I've considered him, that there is none like him. But there's a reason why Job is the way he is. You have put a hedge about him, and you have not permitted me to touch him.
Hallelujah.
If you'll take away that hedge, I'll take care of Job." And the Lord said, "All right, I'll take away the hedge." In a few days, some of the servants came running in. One of the servants and said, "I was out in the field with 1,000 of your oxen and 500 of your burros." And he said, "The Sabaeans came by and they stole all the oxen and they stole all the burros." And before he got through with his message, another servant came in.
Yeah.
And he said, "I was over at a certain place and fire fell down from heaven upon your 7,000 sheep and all of your servants and consumed them all, and I'm the only one left to come and tell you the story." And before he got through with his message, another one came and said, "The Chaldeans have just come by and stolen your 3,000 camels." And before he got that message out of his mouth, here came the last servant, and he said, "I was out at by your son's house, and all of your sons and daughters were there at a great gathering, and a great wind came by, and it tore down the four corners of that house, and all of your family has died in that house." And I want you to listen to these words. When the last servant had brought the last message that notified Job that he was now a pauper, that everything he owned was gone, that all of his children were dead, that nothing was left of his servants but the ones who brought the messages, and his wife. Then the Bible says, "Then Job arose, and he rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground, and worshiped." He was not programmed to complain. He was not programmed, my friend, to curse. He was not programmed to get vengeance on his enemies. He was programmed to worship. Listen to what he said in his prayer. He said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh, hallelujah. When we're not programmed to worship God, we say, "I don't know why this had to happen to me. I don't understand. If God loves me like He loves me, why He let all this happen?" Listen, my friend, He let this happen to find out how you're programmed. He wants to know how you're going to respond to trouble. The Bible says that He's going to test and try this church. That every man's work will be tested as by fire. If you think you're going to come in, repent, get baptized, get the Holy Ghost, and slide into the pearly gates, you're mistaken. The only people going to heaven are those that are programmed to praise the Lord. And you're going to be tested to find out how you're wired up. How you're wired up. Well, the devil came back. He had been defeated. Job had given him a black eye.
Job had declared in the midst of adversity that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was more than the devil could take, and so he made his appearance again before God. He said, I've looked your boy over, and I'll have to admit he's got something that a lot of them don't have. But you let me get to his flesh, and if I can put my finger up on his body, if I can bring suffering and pain, he'll curse you, Lord. And God said he won't do it. He's not programmed that way. The Lord knew what Job was going to do before he ever turned the devil loose. He knew what he had fixed inside Job. He had him all ready for it. So the old devil goes back and he smites Job with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. So horrible was the sight of this man that when three so-called friends came to visit him, they sat for 7 days without opening their mouth as they viewed the pitiful state of this man. And when they started to talk to him about how he was a hypocrite, that God would not have allowed this to happen to him if he hadn't been an old hypocrite, Job looked at them and said, I can't explain why I'm covered with boils.
All right.
I can't tell you why my family's all dead. I have no answers for all the adversities that come my way. But I want you to know that my God sees me. And when I'm tried, I will come forth as gold. He said, though the skin will destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. The devil said, why, you don't even know God's around. You've gone to the front and to the back and to the right and the left, and you can't feel him. You prayed and you get no answers. You don't even know there is a God. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days he's going to stand on the earth. Friend, God's people are programmed for a rapture. I don't care what happens in this world. God summoned back to take us home. Job had been programmed, came out victorious, because it was on the inside. The Lord tells us what a child of God is like. Says that if we're children of God, we'll love our enemies.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's one thing I've never been able to do yet. Well, that's because you're not a child of God. Children of God are programmed to love their enemies. You say, I've tried my best. Well, you need to get the Holy Ghost. You say, I've had it for 40 years. Well, you better pray through and get it again, because you've lost it if you don't love your enemies. God's got his church programmed. I can tell you what saints are going to do when they get in trouble. I know what children of God are going to do when persecution comes. I know what this glorious church is going to do when opposition arises. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to camp meeting. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to glorify God. That's what we're going to do. We're programmed that way. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You can get us off somewhere in a foreign land like the little Israelite maid. They captured her and took her up into Syria. But she was programmed to talk about God. Everything she saw reminded her of God. She looked at Naaman in his leprosy and she said to her, his wife said, oh, would to God that my Lord Naaman could go down to Israel. There's a prophet in Samaria that can remove his leprosy. Now that was something for her to make that kind of a statement. She had never seen the prophet cure anybody of leprosy. The Bible says she hadn't. Jesus said there were many lepers in the days of Naaman, but only Naaman was cured. So this girl had never seen that. What made her say that?
Whatever caused that woman to say that the prophet can cure him of his leprosy? She didn't have any kind of a promise that way. She had never heard the prophet say he could do it. She had never seen him do it. But I'll tell you, down on the inside of her heart, she was programmed to say, "Nothing is too hard for my God." I don't know what your problems are tonight. And sinner, you might be in this place down under the last bushel of problems. And you think you can't go a step further. And you don't know where to turn. And I don't know what your problems are. And I don't know if God's ever solved that kind of a problem. But I can tell you what, He can solve that kind of a problem. I'll tell you what you do tonight. If you've got troubles and problems and heartache, and you're fearful, and you're full of distress and full of all kind of problems in your life, if you'll make your way to this old-fashioned altar in this camp meeting and lift your hand and praise God, He'll take care of your problem. Sing your troubles away. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul, on second missionary journey, and got into Asia Minor, and he said, I thought I was going a certain direction, and the Holy Ghost said no. I decided to go in another direction, the Holy Ghost said no. So finally I decided to go in another direction, the Holy Ghost said no. And so I gave it up and I laid down and went to sleep, and in the middle of the night I had a vision. And he said, I saw a man, and that man said to me, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And he said, after assuredly gathering, he said, "Silas and I got all of our things together, and we went to Macedonia. We came to the city of Philippi. And we got there. We didn't find a man. We found a woman." But Paul said, "I knew I was in the will of God. Couldn't explain the problem. Didn't know why I saw a man when I ended up on the seashore with a woman by the name of Lydia. But I knew one thing. I was in the will of God." And he started marching down the streets of Philippi to witness to the people of Philippi about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he met another woman. And she was full of the devil. And she was bad advertisement. Listen, my friend, if you're full of the devil, we don't need your kind of advertisement. We want people to advertise God who know how to worship Him. Who know how to praise Him. So the Bible says after about 3 days, the Apostle Paul had all he could take, and he turned around and cast the devil out of this woman. Because of that, they arrested him. Put him in the Philippian jail. Back into an inner cell. And the Scripture says, at midnight, Paul and Silas wiped their tears. And they said, "Oh, would to God He'd have left us down in Egypt. Would to God that we'd have never come on this journey. Oh, we made a mistake. Somehow or other, Paul, you fouled up this time. You said a man asked you to come. We got here and there was a bunch of women. And then a demon-possessed woman. And now we're back here in this inner cell. And what in the world's going to happen to us?" No, they didn't say any such thing. The Bible said at midnight, they begin to sing praises to God. They were programmed to worship. They weren't crying about their problems. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. God's people are people that's been filled with the Spirit that is different than any other spirit in the whole world. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans, he said that before he came into the blessings of grace, he found himself with real problems. He was dealing with a law that was righteous. The law was perfect. There wasn't anything wrong with the law. But man wasn't programmed to live by it. That's the truth.
Amen. That's right.
He said, constantly, I found myself breaking the laws of God. He said, the things that I didn't want to do, my old carnal flesh did them. And the things that I knew I ought to do, I could not bring myself to do them. And finally I cried out, and I said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? My friend, that's the problem our world is in tonight. There are many people that know the Bible is true. You haven't come to your church and I haven't come to mine. They know that there's a right way to live. They know that the way we live is righteous. But they will say, I can't live that way. I tried it and I can't do it. I turn a new leaf over on January 1st and it doesn't work. That's because you haven't been programmed right. I'll tell you what. God's got a little operation on you that He'll perform if you'll let Him. He'll take out the computer system of that old heart, stony heart. He'll put one on the inside that's flexible. And when His Spirit moves, it'll respond. And you'll find out that the things that you know you ought to do will be easy to do. The things that you know you shouldn't do will be no problem with you when you get computerized right. God wants to program you, my friend. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord comes in your heart, it'll give you power over sin. Acts the 1st chapter in the 8th verse, Jesus said to His disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I used to think that meant power to raise the dead, power to open blind eyes, power to heal the sick. But that's not what it means. The reason I know that that's not what it means is because He had already given them that power. He sent them out by twos. They healed the sick. They prayed miracles down. Yes. They supplied whatever need was of the people. He gave them power over devils. And He gave them power over Satan. And He gave them power over sickness. Yes. So what was He talking about? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That doesn't mean necessarily to knock on a door and say, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and I want to tell you how to be saved. That's good to do that. And everybody ought to knock on a door and invite somebody to church. But my friend, the Holy Ghost will make you a living witness wherever you go. Because you just don't react to trouble like other people do. When some folks get in trouble, the first thing they say is, let's get a lawyer. That's right. But if you're programmed with the Holy Ghost, you say, let's pray through. Some people say, when they get in trouble, they lose their temper. And they go throwing everything every which way. But Holy Ghost people don't do that. They go into the presence of the Almighty God and lay their problems there, and they begin to worship Him. Some people, when they get in trouble, begin to curse their enemies. But God's people aren't programmed that way. They pray for their enemies. Oh, there's a world of difference between this glorious church of the living God and the world. And the way you react under adversity is a living testimony in your community.
Hallelujah.
The Scripture says that you are living witnesses. Oh, yes, my friend. Living epistles, read and learned of all men. And people will say, I've never seen anything like that. I had a woman call me on the phone a while back, one of the neighbors that calls every once in a while and talks with me for quite some time. She's an elderly woman, and she's noticed there's something different in us than the rest of the community and the rest of the church world. And so she said one day, Reverend Whalen, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be real honest with me, if you will. What do you say when you hit your thumb with a hammer?
Yeah.
Well, I said, I say, ouch.
Now, come on, Reverend. Now, come on, Reverend. Is that all you say?
Well, I say, Lord, help me. And I usually stick it in my mouth. Oh, God, help me. She says, Reverend, now I can't help it. When I hit my thumb with a hammer, I say things I ought not to say. Now, don't you do that, Reverend. I said, no, Mrs. Wright, I don't do that. I'm not programmed that way. There's just something about it. When trouble comes my way, I know where to go. I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord. If we could learn to cast our cares on Him, if we could learn to praise Him in the midst of trouble, there wouldn't be any backsliders in Pentecost. Our trouble is we let our troubles get us down. And God doesn't want you to let your troubles get down. He wants you to get your heart fixed and your mind made up. I'm going to sing and praise the Lord. David said, you are my refuge during these calamities. You see those enemies that have set traps for me, those whose tongues are sharp as swords, but I've got my heart all fixed, Lord. I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise you. The Apostle James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, he was programmed, my friend, in the right direction. The Scripture said, in every gift, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I don't care what kind of trouble comes your way, it's time to praise the Lord. I don't care what kind of adversity is in your path, it's time to praise the Lord. I met Brother T.C. Montgomery's daughter when I was down in Georgia, and one day we were riding in the car, her and her husband and myself, Brother Rome. Brother Rome was asking her some questions about her dad, who had just passed away, as most of you know. Brother Montgomery was the founder of our Tupelo Children's Mansion. And she told us about Brother Montgomery when he was a young man, and how he preached with such zeal and such fervor, and he was so dedicated. And there was a girl that came into the church and received the Holy Ghost, and Brother Montgomery baptized her. It made her dad so mad that he got a gang of men from the town to get Brother Montgomery. And they took him out by the riverside, and they had a gun. And they said, before we kill you and dump you into this river, is there anything you want to say? He said, there's only one thing I want to do before you kill me. I want to pray. That's all I want to do. Just let me pray. And he got down on his knees as if there wasn't anybody around. And he happened to know those fellows by their name. And he called each one of them out. Oh, God, forgive them for this wrong. And as he prayed, they decided just to give him a good whipping and leave him. And years later, he married that fella's daughter. You might get a wife out of it if you praise the Lord. Oh, my friend, the secret to the overcomer is singing praises unto the Lord. The Scripture says in Psalms 33:3, sing unto the Lord a new song. God wants us to come into His presence with singing. Enter into His courts with praise. Give glory to His name. For the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. You say, well, you Pentecostal people get too uptight when you go to service. You make too much noise. We can't help it. We're programmed that way. John the Revelator said he was in heaven, and he said, I heard the sound of voices worshiping God as the sound of many waters. Have you ever stood on the ocean when the breakers were coming in? I've stood there with people, looked at that ocean, listened to those breakers dashing against that shore, and I would have to scream into their ear to get them to listen to me because they couldn't hear for the noise of the breakers. My friend, if you don't like our noise in worship, you wouldn't enjoy 5 minutes of heaven. You wouldn't enjoy it. Because we're programmed to worship our God. The only reason we don't worship any louder, and the only reason that we don't run anymore, and the only reason we don't shout anymore than we do, is because we don't have a body to keep up with our hearts. We're fixed for it. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, this mortal's going to take on immortality. This corruption will take on incorruption. Well, we'll praise Him. We'll worship Him. I want us to stand and praise Him right now.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus. I'm gonna sing out my joy since He came. I'm gonna tell of His power every day and every hour. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name. I'm gonna lift up the name. Hallelujah. I'm gonna sing out my joy since He came. I'm gonna tell of His power every day and every hour. I'm gonna lift up that wonderful name.